Yeah.
Win that game.
Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And I would like to forever thank Rick Geezer for exposing me to this song. That's Marie Fuller, who recorded that song in 1969 for the Cubs. And it's called Go, Go, Go Cubs. And for my money, it's one of the greatest Chicago Cubs songs in history. Oh, man. I remember the first night we played it on the show, I Rick brought it in during one of his sports song segments, and you can find the sports songs podcasts right here at WGN Radio. .com. And so I was, needless to say, once I heard that, I was like, well, she's the best. Marie Fuller is the best. So anyway, we're going to be talking baseball here. It is the All-Star break, and that's good for both teams this year. And we thought we'd talk about the first half of the season for both teams. And also, Kevin Powell, who is joining us right here, he covers baseball for us at WGN, and he anchors sports on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis weekdays. And you can read his Powell at the Park blog at WGNradio.com. You can follow him on Twitter at KPowell720. And it's great to have Kevin on. I haven't talked to Kevin in a while. Hey, Kevin.
Nick, thanks for having me, man.
Right.
I appreciate it.
How you doing,
great
buddy?
To talk to you.
I miss seeing you every morning, man.
I miss seeing you, and I miss listening to you, because every morning when I was driving in to get ready to produce Cochran and the gang in the morning, I'd listen to your show, and I miss it. But and I'm tuning into the podcast here and there, so I appreciate you having me on, Nick.
No, it's great. It was great to see you at the Walk of Fame induction. It was the first time I saw you in a while. It was good to see you there, man.
Congratulations again.
Oh, I appreciate it.
So much deserved.
You've been having fun covering sports, man?
Fun is probably an understatement. I've been very lucky and fortunate. I mean, last year was my first year covering baseball, and it was a fairly big year for Chicago baseball, Nick.
You think?
I'm not sure if you knew that. So I picked a good time to start covering the Cubs and the White Sox, and last year was just an incredible ride.
Well, let's start with that. Before we get to the first half of this season, yeah, let's talk about what it was like to cover the 2016 Cubs. First of all, I got to see your face in the locker room like every damn game.
yeah it was again, I was lucky. I was there for all of it, and it sort of feels not to jump ahead, but this season sort of, it starts to put last season into perspective even more. Not that Cub fans and everybody wasn't overwhelmed and filled with joy with last year's season, but when you look at what they're doing this year, and it's essentially the same roster, right? So then you compare it to last year and just how dominant they were, and it was such like a picture-perfect season for the Cubs, and it was a team filled with a lot of characters, and there's Joe Maddon, and they're loose, and they're fun. It was just the whole ride of it all, and then to be capped off with that Game 7 wild, craziest baseball game in history. Maybe. I think it puts things in perspective of how good they were last year and really how just about perfect last year was. There really wasn't a lot of hiccups. You had the Kyle Schwarber injury, and then after that, I mean, everything pretty much went according to plan last year.
They had a rough go of it right before the All-Star break last year. There was the
June swoon, yes.
Yeah,
There
was a little bit of that. And I remember last year at this time, I was like, oh, cool, the All-Star break, the Cubs need it. And it's even more so this year. it was an incredible, as a fan, you know, it was just incredible. But tell me about what it was like. You were traveling, you were there when they clinched everything, and you were in the, you know, I saw you covered in champagne with goggles on in the locker room. What was that experience like?
You know, it's hard to really sum up in a few words. I think there was a lot of pinch me moments where you're sucked into the moment of covering it and doing a good job for the station and interviewing players and talking to fans and taking photos and videos and this and that. But, I think one of the coolest moments was when they won the pennant. It was at Wrigley.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just don't know. I was – the way that it's set up at Wrigley is there's no direct – there's no direct line from the press box down to the clubhouse. So you got to walk down the concourse just as any, as fans would too, and then you walk down towards the gate, and there's a door, and then you walk downstairs to get to the clubhouse and stuff. So what a lot of the reporters do, what a lot of us do, is we actually, and we'll do this in regular season games too, is just to beat the crowd walking down the concourse. People will head down in about the eighth inning or so, you know, just to beat the mad rush so you have time to get to the clubhouse and whatnot. So a lot of us just either go down to the clubhouse media area or, you know, wait down there. But I think there were so many of us that actually wanted to witness the history of it all.
Right.
So I was actually standing in the 100-level section and just sort of on the walkway on the concourse area and just being like, I felt like I was just surrounded and covered and smothered in Cub fans. It was like everywhere I looked, there was just people screaming and flailing their arms, and just that whole scene was wild. And then after they just brought up the media onto the field, so we were all in the field, we're in the outfield, and then just I just remember the pinch me moment for me was I was out in left field, and I'm like, just stop what you're doing for a second, Kevin, and take a breath.
Yeah.
And I just looked up and I scanned all the fans. And just to feel all the eyeballs, of course, not on me, but at least staring down on the field, and just experiencing that to me has stood out. And it was just an unbelievable, incredible ride. And then to finish it all off in Cleveland, I was actually in the press box area. They actually had some makeshift press boxes in the postseason. All the teams do because there's such an overflow of media. So we're actually like sort of in this outdoor, like they use it for suites area, but there's a bunch of media of us, and I was sitting next to Mark Carmen, who he doesn't care. He's a reporter, but he also doesn't shy away from letting it be known that he is a massive Cubs fan.
Right.
So watching one of the biggest Cub fans I know. So watching Game 7 with him was interesting. It gave me a whole different perspective
because
Carmen was just like riding the whole thing, and
well,
I was sort of like I had a fan with me the whole time.
It's funny because Andy Mazur passed out 2 feet from where I'm sitting.
I know. And, you know, look, I grew up a White Sox fan.
Yeah.
Certainly never really even cheer against the Cubs or anything like that. When you're a reporter, your mindset does 100% change, but that doesn't mean there's not plenty of moments now, right now, talking with you or during the whole journey last year where, you know, I don't know, again, as a reporter, you're in a different mindset. You're not necessarily cheering for them, but selfishly, you kind of want to be there for it, you know? So it's like, I'm not cheering for the Cubs, but it'd be great 20 years from now to say I was there.
Yeah.
I covered the World Series champion Cubs.
Right. Well, listen, you mentioned the White Sox and you grew up a White Sox fan. Tell me about your summation of the first half of the season for the Sox this year.
Honestly, it's about what we expected. We knew they weren't going to win a whole lot of games, but I think what's made it a little bit easier for Sox fans to swallow is that they're playing their butts off. They really are. They've had some come from behind wins, and there's a lot of guys out there that are fighting for a potential roster spot, whether they have a realistic chance of being a part of this long-term rebuild or not. They're trying, and I think Rick Renteria, the manager, deserves a lot of credit for that because I think all the players realized heading into the year that this was a rebuild mode, and things are going to get. They're going to lose even more games in the second half because they're going to trade off Todd Frazier, Melky Cabrera, Jose Quintana could be traded within the next couple of weeks. But, you know, I think for White Sox fans, it's sort of a refreshing season in many ways because there was such mediocrity for the past 8 years, 10 years really for White Sox and the organization and for fans. It just became so frustrating that now they have a clear direction. And then in the winter when Rick Hahn made the deal with, you know, sending Chris Sale to Boston and sending Adam Eaton to Washington and getting all these prospects, it really kickstarted the whole rebuild process.
Yeah.
So I think fans understand. And I honestly do. I know the White Sox and Cubs don't want to, you know, use each other as motivation or whatever. But, I think White Sox fans saw what happened with the Cubs. I mean, the White Sox are doing now what the Cubs – started doing 5-6 years ago when right. Theo and company came to town. So I think when White Sox fans see that, it's a little bit easier to swallow. And then, like I said, on top of it all, it's fun to see players really busting it out there and trying. They've actually been a fairly, you know, they're not the greatest team, but they're you can still watch them. I'll say that. They're still a watchable team.
So Renteria is doing better on the south side than he did on the north side then?
Yeah, I guess so. But, I mean, he never really had a chance. Like, the Cubs love – the Theo and them loved Rick Renteria. It's just when Joe Maddon's available,
right.
You don't pass that up.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the best. You know, and they said that. They're like, we feel bad. Like, you know, Rick is – we thought he was our guy, but it just was the circumstances. I mean, Joe Maddon became available, and the Cubs realized that, and he was obviously the perfect guy to lead this organization. So I wouldn't say – you know, Renteria – well, was he the manager for two seasons with the Cubs? I don't think he ever had a realistic chance or a fair chance. But I think the White Sox are all in with Renteria. I don't think he's a holdover or anything. At first, I think a lot of people thought that when Robin Ventura was fired, they'd bring in Renteria and he'd be here for a year or two. And then maybe, you know, the same situation would happen again where another high-profile manager became available and they move on from Renteria. But it's starting to me really feeling like Renteria is the guy they want to be there for the long haul for this full rebuild.
Yeah, well, that's cool, man, because I always thought, you know, that Renteria, I mean, you know, I always thought he didn't get a fair, like you just said, he didn't get a fair shot on the north side. And then when he got hired on the south side, I'm like, man, I hope they keep him for a while, you know, because he's had sort of a career like that, you know.
He has, and he couldn't be a nicer guy, and I think he's on board with all of it. I mean, the whole White Sox organization is on board with it. You can recognize it just as a member of the media. Like, they'll fulfill pretty much any interview request, you know, and they've always been good about that. But
yeah.
It just seems like they realize they need they need to be doing all they can to make sure White Sox fans are still happy and, you know, things like that. So they get it, and Renteria gets it, and, you know, he's always positive. Even, you know, even after losses, he's got a little smile on his face. So
right, cool.
I think he understands the whole process here.
All right, Kev, hang on. All right, man?
You got it.
All right, Kevin Powell is with us, and he does. He anchors sports with Rokan and Anna DeBlantis on weekdays. And you can read Powell at the Park. That's his blog at WGNRadio.com. We're going to come back and talk more about the first half of the season for the Cubs and Sox right here on 720 WGN. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, 2 for Tuesday. Get your requests in now, one artist, two songs, 312-981-7200, 2 for Tuesday. Right now, though, Kevin Powell joins us. He covers baseball for us here at WGN. He anchors sports for the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis weekdays. And you can read Powell at the Park. That's his blog at WGNRadio.com. Kev, you know we had to play that for you, man.
I had my fingers crossed. I was like, wow, I really hope Dan and Nick will fire some Bill Withers off for me. I love it.
I got to tell you, have you noticed, dude, that song is in like 3 different commercials now?
I noticed that.
I was
Bill Withers is everywhere. I credit your show, Nick.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Giving credit for Bill Withers' career to the Nick DiGilio show. I'm doing it. all right, let's talk about
love it.
Let's talk about some of the stuff that's been happening on the north side. We covered a little bit about the south side. It's been a pretty wild ride so far, you know, on the north side. Let's start with, you wrote a piece about them cutting Montero, and you said that was the right thing to do. Tell everybody a little bit about that.
Yeah, so in the piece, look, I don't think anybody disagrees with Miguel what he said. Bottom line is, don't say it. And when you're a backup catcher, you're disposable.
Yeah.
He's been hitting okay this year, but that was an embarrassment, his final game with the team when the Nationals stole 7 bases and him pointing a finger at Jake Arrieta.
Yeah.
You know, if Chris Bryant, not that this would ever happen, but if Chris Bryant's in the clubhouse pointing fingers or saying what Miguel Montero said, he's still on the roster. When you're a backup catcher like Miguel Montero, and I think that was part of it, honestly. I think one, that's just how Montero is. He's always just been open with what he says. He says whatever he's thinking, and, you know, we loved him in the media because he was an entertaining quote, but you can get yourself into trouble sometimes, and the Cubs, who haven't had the best season, are not going to deal with a backup catcher pointing fingers at a starting pitcher who's also had an up-and-down year, and they need him to remain laser focused.
Right.
They need the best Jake Arrieta. They're just not going to put up with it. So I think they made the right move. And like I said, was he wrong with what he said about Arrieta and the pitching staff? No, I don't think so. But it's a time and a place, and there's no need to go to the media and say things like that. We love it.
Yeah.
Sports organizations don't like players speaking out like that. The media and the fans love it because it's juicy stuff.
Yeah.
Juicy quote.
Right.
But this is what happens. You get fired when you say things like that in your backup catcher.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the leadoff man situation that's been part of the drama of the North Side. The Schwarber experiment and then the Rizzo experiment. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that they missed Dexter Fowler. I mean, he was so important to them last year. You go, we go. How many times have we heard Joe Maddon say that last season?
Yeah.
That's been pretty evident. At first, I loved the Kyle Schwarber idea at leadoff. In hindsight, I think it was a little bit too much for Schwarber. They don't have a prototypical leadoff guy per se, but I personally think they don't have to really go. You know, people are talking about, oh, they need to trade for a leadoff man and this and that. Well, when you look around the league, I don't even know who they would even target.
Right.
And two, I think that Joe Maddon and the Cubs have all the answers for the leadoff spot on the roster already. To me, it's John Jay and Ben Zobrist should be a rotation depending on what your lineup looks defensively for that day.
Yeah.
I think those two guys are just fine. And I think, water levels itself out, cream rises, this offense is going to turn things around. I do believe there's just too much talent up and down the roster. I don't see, trade deadline's 2 weeks away. I don't see Theo reaching for another bat. I think the guys they have on the roster are their guys, and as much as people keep talking about a trade, if the Cubs are going to go back to the postseason this year, if they're going to compete for a World Series, it's going to be because of the guys that won them a World Series last year.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it's Chris Bryant, it's Anthony Rizzo, it's Jake Arrieta, it's John Lester. Those guys all just need to play better and more consistently because you've seen some pretty good, weeks here and there from the guys, but it's sort of just been up and down for everyone. And they're not hitting with runners in scoring position. And that was last year. It felt like anytime they had a man on, they got him over and got him in, or if they had a man on and needed a big hit, they got it, and they're just not getting that this year. So I don't think a trade is going to alter this season a whole lot, although it's almost a guarantee they're going to trade for a starting pitcher.
Right.
We'll just have to wait and see who that's going to be.
Yeah. Well, the pitching is what they need to go for at this point, I think. But it's interesting, you're saying that the veterans have to step up. They certainly do, because right now it's a couple of, there are guys like Happ and Jay are doing everything, man, and they've been like consistently great, and these young kids and they're doing great.
Yeah, and back to the pitching is okay. Well, do the Cubs want to rent or do they want to buy at the trade deadline? And what I mean by that is, do they do another deal like they did for Aroldis Chapman, where you trade your top prospect and some? He's played a few players to New York to get Aroldis Chapman for 3 months of his service. Now, he won the World Series, and it all worked out. So do the Cubs try to find a starting pitcher that they're going to have long-term because they need that, or do they end up with a starting pitcher that they're gonna have for 3 months just like Chapman, and then he's gone to the free agent?
Right.
The reason I'm bringing that up is because you mentioned the young guys. So how willing is Theo Epstein and Jed Hoyer willing to part with those young guys? Because if you want to go get a starting pitcher, you're going to have to trade one of your prospects. Is it Ian Happ? Is it Jamer Candelario, who's been sort of up and down this season?
Right.
How much are they willing to deal out to get another pitcher? That's what I'm interested in seeing. Because if you are going to get a pitcher that you're going to have for a few years, that pitcher is probably going to carry a heftier price tag on them, which means you probably would have to give up a Happ or Candelario.
Yeah. Well, listen, how do you feel about the second half going forward for the Sox? First of all, you talked a little bit about it. You think it's going to be pretty much consistent with what they did, and they're probably going to lose more because of the moves they have to make, correct?
Pretty much, yeah. I think that's what you can anticipate. And we'll as much as they're going to lose, it's going to be exciting for the next couple weeks because the White Sox have a lot of pieces they can move, and that farm system is just going to become deeper and deeper, and it's already one of the deepest in baseball.
Yeah. All right, and then Northside, what do you think? Second half.
I want to say everything's going to be just fine, but I've been saying that all season, Nick, and it seems like they're just sort of kicking the can down the road.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get it. I just don't. But there is a lot of talent. They have just enough talent to win another World Series. So
all
I
right.
would, if you want to ease your mind a little bit, just keep that in mind.
What are you writing on your blog next?
Yeah, actually, it'll be up tomorrow, and it's kind of what we just talked about. Are the Cubs going to rent or buy? And I'll take a look at some potential trade targets for the Cubs and sort of just discuss their possible trade options and so try to make some sense of this first half a little bit.
All right. That's Powell at the Park blog. It's at WGNRadio.com. You can follow him on Twitter at KPowell720, and you can hear him anchoring sports daily on the Rokan Show with Anna DeBlantis. Great talking to you again, Kev. Take care, man.
Yeah, anytime, Nick. I appreciate it.
All right, buddy.
See you guys soon.
Take care, buddy. There you go. Kevin Powell, everybody. Good guy, great dude, and I miss seeing him every morning, and he loves Bill Withers. All right, we're going to take a break here on 720 WGN. It's time for the news.